Good morning and welcome to worship. And we extend a warm welcome to Sandra and David, who are from Release International, which is a charity which helps people that are persecuted for their Christian faith. And they're bringing a message from the rest of the world to us. Thank you.
A call to worship. As we come to worship this morning, a few verses from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, and tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. And let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, and seek his face always. We continue with our worship with this wonderful hymn, 428. Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of worship, for the freedom to be amongst your family, meeting together in your house and in the warmth of your embrace. We thank you that in worship we can put aside the uncertainties of this world and rest upon the certainties of the kingdom. For your promises are not changeable as those of man might be, but immovable and eternal. We thank you that we can bring to your feet all the hurts and fears that trouble us and leave them there, knowing that with your strength and assurance, you are all we require. We thank you as we draw near to worship. We're transported from a world of concerns and fears to a place where we can be at peace in your presence, finding healing, wholeness, and refreshment. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity of worship. Lord, you love each one of us so completely. We thank you for that love that reaches far and wide into all the corners of this world, to see each face uplifted to you, knowing you always hear our cry. Lord, be with each one of us this morning as we come to worship, but also to learn more of what you're doing in our world, in places that many of us have never visited. And we ask that you'll be with Sandra as she speaks to us today to share the work of Release International. Amen. Let's join together to say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. On the Pew Bibles is page 1018. The greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. And the second reading is from John chapter 13, verses 33 to 35 on page 1082. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen.
We're going to sing again. Hymn number 269. I do not know what lies ahead. And I love the phrase in it, because you are the God of miracles. So 269, please stand.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning and to have this opportunity to speak about the work of Release International. So who are we? We are a Christian ministry called to love and serve persecuted Christians. We were founded in 1968, inspired by the testimony of Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was imprisoned for his faith for 14 years in communist Romania. When he was released, he came to the West and challenged the church to be a voice for the voiceless, because he knew he was leaving behind many others who were being persecuted, and they couldn't say what was going on. And his heart was really for them, knowing what he had gone through, and to make others aware of what was going on. And so you may know of his book called Tortured for Christ, which gives his testimony. We now continue this legacy of being a voice for the voiceless, and we work through local partners in around 30 countries across the world, helping persecuted Christians prayerfully, pastorally, and practically. We also want to call you. We call Christians around the UK into fellowship with the persecuted Christians so that we can support them and so that we can learn lessons of discipleship together with them. At Release International, we like to think biblically about persecution. And the Bible has a lot to say on the subject. And today we're going to look at Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25. And I've titled this reflection, A Cry for Help and Our Heavenly Father's Response. In it, we'll see how God responds to his cry for help from his people, the Israelites. And I hope it will also help us to see how his response helps us to respond to suffering and persecution today. Passages taken from the NIV, Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25. During that long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. Their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. So, to get an idea, why were these Israelites in slavery? What had happened? Well, it says, doesn't it, that the old king, the king of Egypt, had died. And we need to realise that actually 400 years had passed since the Israelites moved there, because Joseph had been prime minister and his family had moved there at the request of Pharaoh. And that was because, you know, about how he had had those dreams and he told the Pharaoh, and then he had been instrumental in stopping them all starve from the famine, and other people had come. And so the Egyptians at that time and the Pharaoh at that time was really, really thankful. But now 400 years had passed. And so then they were treated well and seen as a blessing. But now they were numerous because God had been, carrying out his plan. He said he would bless them and he would increase their numbers. But to this new Pharaoh, he didn't know all that, and he just saw them as a threat to his power. And he picked on their otherness, not Egyptian, and assumed the worst. and so made them slaves. So can we imagine what that must have been like for them? You know, every day waking up just knowing another day of drudgery, of being shouted at, being beaten by, you know, your slave masters, just the whole abuse, oppression, and, you know, just no let up from any of that, and no voice, no representation, and no prospects. They couldn't see an end to it. It just seemed to go on day after day after day. Religious freedom is deteriorating badly in India, and Christians are suffering increased oppression as a result. This is due to Hindu fundamentalism, which is to be Indian is to be Hindu. And it's called Hinduva. And the ruling BJP party very much has taken this ideology on board and encourages others to do the same. And as a result, 12 out of the 28 states in India now have anti-conversion laws. If you're in one of those states, you risk arrest and even prison if you offer to pray for somebody or give a Bible to a Hindu, or even if you're suspected of doing that. And it extends to homes as well. Hindu fundamentalists have come into people's homes, broken up prayer meetings. You can't have a church service. So many people go miles to be able to worship together. And at the moment, 3,000 pastors and leaders are in prison. So this is just to give you an example of the sort of things that our brothers and sisters are facing in India. So Pastor Rajendra, he was walking home after a prayer meeting at his village church in Rathistan, where they have these anti-conversion law in place. And he was attacked by a gang of 8 Hindu extremists with swords and axes and metal bars and left for dead. But he was found and he was taken to hospital, praise God. And then Release International partners were able to support his ongoing recovery with physiotherapy and also helped him with transport. So that gang wanted to rid the village of Christianity. But Pastor Ranja is still there. He's still ministering there today. And also, because of Release International support, he is able to carry on the ministry in the village. And, you know, he still has problems sometimes with his walking. But he loves the people so much that he wanted to stay in that village. And some days he actually sees his attackers. And you know what he does? He prays for them. He says, he told the Release International partner that he says, I pray for them to know Jesus and his forgiveness. And just reminded me that, you know, that is putting love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you into practice. Let's go back to our passage and let's think about these Israelites groaning in their slavery, as we see in verse 24. Well, the groaning alone didn't achieve much. It just kept their eyes on their suffering. When we groan, that doesn't really get us anywhere. But it then says that they also cried out, and their cry went up to God. So that makes me think that they started to look up. They didn't look at what the problem was around them, but they thought, we're going to look up and we're going to cry out. And they cried out to God. They lifted their eyes to the only one who could help them and change things. Their cry became a prayer, just a simple prayer, God help us. But they were directing their groans and their cries to God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to invite him in to our situation, into the problems, into the suffering. And because he knows that we need help, but he wants us to ask him to help. And we can see by these four wonderful verbs, heard, remembered, looked, and concerned, that shows God's response to the cry from his people. Let's look at each one. Heard. God is always listening. He hears our prayers and they move him to act. Remembered. He remembered his covenant, his promise with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to make a great nation and to be a blessing to all nations forever. He hadn't forgotten. He is always faithful to his promises. In the next chapter, in Exodus 3, God puts the next stage of his redemption plan into action. Moses comes on the scene and he then is told by God he is going to be the one to rescue his people out of Egypt and to take them to the promised land. So we know he will act and bring his plans and purposes to happen, to bring salvation and continue his redemption plan till Jesus return. Looked. He looks on his people with love, aware of their needs, and he paid attention to them because he cared for them. Looking shows that they were special and important to him. We can know as his children that he looks on us and knows the best way to help us. He is a good God. Concerned. Concerned shows intimate involvement with his people and shows how much he cares for them. Our God is a gracious and compassionate, loving Heavenly Father. So these four responses, the hearing, the remembering, the looking, and the concerned, they should give us confidence when we pray for the persecuted. We know God hears. We know he remembers. We know he looks and is concerned. And he will act in the best way to carry out his plans and purposes. Prayer is powerful, and we've had songs to do with prayer today and putting things in God's hands. And so just know it's God loves our prayers. He loves to answer our prayers. He loves to hear our prayers. And I'm so pleased to hear that you already do pray for the persecuted in your services and in your prayer meetings too. So that is really good to hear. So I have some prayer points here I thought we could look at. Right. And these are for India, for our brothers and sisters there. And so I thought, well, you know, these are things that Release International have asked for us to pray for, because they've spoken to the partners there and asked them, what is it you need us to pray for to help you? And they've said, please can you pray about these things? So we can pray for pastors and Christians who are arrested and awaiting trial and have no bail. We can also pray for wisdom for release international partners who are giving legal support so that our brothers and sisters can receive a fair hearing when their case comes up. We can also ask for God's protection and guidance for pastors like Pastor Rajendra, who share Jesus in places where there are anti-conversion laws or the community is hostile to the gospel because it doesn't fit with their traditions. We can also pray that these anti-conversion laws can be repealed, and we they're looking to the High Court to be able to overturn some of the laws that are in place. So I'm just going to pray for two or so minutes now for these things. So, Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers and you are listening and you know the needs of our brothers and sisters in India and you care for them very much. And, Lord, your plans and purposes are being carried out as they carry the gospel forward. And, Lord, we know the powers of darkness don't like this. And Lord, we pray for those who are persecuting our brothers and sisters because they don't understand your way. Just like Pastor Rajendra is praying for those who attacked him to know Jesus' love and to know his forgiveness. We pray that these Hindus and others who don't know you yet will be turned from these destructive ways and see you and see your love and see that you are the way, the truth and the life. Father, we pray for these pastors and Christians who've been arrested. We pray for encouragement for them, Lord. We pray that you would bring words of scripture to them so that in those dark hours they would be encouraged. Father, we pray for wisdom for our Release International partners who are giving legal support to these dear brothers in prison, that they would just know from you what things to say and how to go forward with trials and different issues that are coming up, so that our brothers would be exonerated, Lord, that they would go free and that they would have nothing to answer for all these false charges that are coming against them. And at the same time, Lord, as our brothers and sisters are going through these trials, that they would have opportunities to speak about you. Lord, when they are facing the judge, that they would be able to bring their testimony, that they would be able to, just like you say in Acts, Lord, you would give them the words to speak. Father, we pray for God's guidance and protection for pastors like Pastor Rajendra. And we know many, Lord, pastors who need your protection, Lord, from these different mobs that are trying to incite violence and cause disruption, Lord, that you would, just by your Holy Spirit, enable them to get safely away from places, Lord. I know that you do that, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for the courage and strength of my brothers and sisters in these places where there are anti-conversion laws. Also, Lord, where there are different traditions, Lord, where they believe other things, and Lord, that they come against Christians in, for that reason too. And Father, we do pray that these laws would be repealed and our brothers and sisters would be set free from the oppression of these laws. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you'd like to stay in touch with us, Release International, please come and pick up your free voice magazine that will be in the other room when you get your teas and coffees. And you can find out more about the work of Release International. And there's also a prayer diary which will help inform your prayers. I find that very useful. I use that myself most days. And then if you fill in the Stay in Touch card, we can send you this by post or by email. And there are lots of resources and information on our website and also on our YouTube channel. And also we have podcasts. So I know that you know that the most important thing we can do is pray. So, you know, take the opportunity and sign up today. You may feel that you can give, and as it says in Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And one lady that, you know, Release International has been able to help is Ifat, who you can see in this picture. And if you want to know more about her, please ask me after the service, and you can find out how Release International are helping her stand strong. Giving makes a significant contribution to the needs of our persecuted family in India, in Pakistan, and in many other countries, as you'll see on the map when you go through about where Release International are working in those 30 countries, as I said. So if you do feel that you want to donate today, there is a card in the Voice magazine, or you can do it online via the website www.releaseinternational.org. I thanks very much for letting me share this morning, and please do come and chat with me afterwards and get your free copy of the Voice magazine after the service. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra. We're going to sing again, 1008, The Lord's My Shepherd. Thank you, Nigel. Let us pray. Lord, we bring our prayers this morning. You know what's on our minds and who we'd like to pray for. For those that are sick, those waiting operations and procedures, those caring for loved ones, and those being cared for in homes. In these few quiet moments, we bring them before you. Lord, we pray for all those that were ill involved in the air disaster in India, for all those families, for all those people, for all those people working in the airport. Lord, we just think in these moments of those people. Lord, we thank you that you've shared the work of Release International this morning. And in our prayers, we pray for all those in leadership of the group, those who seek to find the real problems going on in our world. Lord, we ask that you will give them wisdom and a true vision focused on your plans for them. We pray for all those people like Sandra who've come out to share the work with us and through their commitment and time are serving you in this country. Encourage and support them wherever you send them to speak. Lord, be with those Christians that find their lives have been turned upside down because of their faith. Finding it difficult to live into a community due to persecution when their only crime is loving you. Lord, come alongside them now, that they will feel your presence with them and that you will help them get through each day. Lord, be with the people working in these places across the world to help the most affected Christians by persecution. Show them the opportunities where they can support them and how they can encourage them as they work for you, giving practical and financial help where it's needed. Lord, we pray and give thanks for all the Christians across the world praying for the persecuted Christians, daily bringing their plight to you and continually holding them in prayer. Help us to add our prayers so that they will know they're not forgotten and show us how we can support this work for you. Lord, we continue to pray for peace in our world, for Israel and Gaza, for Ukraine and Russia, for India and Pakistan, for Israel and Iran, and those many places that don't hit the news. For all those people trying to negotiate peace when all seems hopeless. But Lord, we know that you are a God of miracles, and we continue to ask you to bless all those afflicted by conflict through no fault of their own. And Lord, be with each one of us this week. You know the people we will meet, the conversations we'll have. Come alongside us as we step out into this week for you. Help us to be shining lights in our community that people will know of your love. Amen. It's time to sing again. 1072. And I think the words in the beginning, in Christ alone my hope is found. We know that we've heard the information this morning that God is always there. He's always in our hope. And it says he's my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. 1072. Be thou a bright flame before me. Be thou a guiding star above me. Be thou a smooth path beneath me. And be thou a kindly shepherd behind me. Today and forevermore. Amen.